Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and we're continuing today with the 13th Mizmor of the Book of Tehillim, Mizmor Yud Gimel. Just want to begin with a short introduction. The Book of Tehillim offers us tools to strengthen our resilience in the face of hardship, with David HaMelech serving as our eternal model for dealing with adversity. Think about his story. From the moment he was born, David was misunderstood. The Medrash in the Yalkut HaMechiri, which is brought down in the Sefer HaTodah, explains that when he was born, he was initially thought to be a mamzer, an illegitimate child. And although this was not true, he was nevertheless estranged by his family and assigned a lowly role as a shepherd. Consequently, he was further isolated from the community that looked down on shepherds as dishonest and lazy. Think of the stories that you know as a child. The boy who cried wolf and lied to the townspeople, or little boy blue who fell asleep on the job. That was the mistaken impression that his community had of him and his family had of him as a young child. Even after his legitimacy was no longer questioned, his Jewish lineage continued to be doubted because he was a descendant of Ruth of Moab. When David defeated the vicious Goliath, he was initially celebrated by the people. However, his glory was short-lived, as he soon became seen as a potential threat to the kingdom. Again, misunderstood. The most influential figures accused him of plotting to destroy Shaul and his regime, pursuing him relentlessly. After Shaul was killed in a war unrelated to David, it took 7 long years for David to be accepted as king. And when he became king, as monarch, he continued to be faced with continuous adversity. For example, despite his evident strength, enemy nations waged war against him all the time. His own mistakes brought punishment and guilt. He endured serious illnesses, the tragic loss of some of his children, and even a coup that was attempted by his own son. David endured every conceivable form of hardship, yet he never wavered in his relationship with Hashem. There is no adversity, whether faced by an individual or a nation, that David did not experience in some form. And that's why we turn to his Mizmorim, the Tehillim, which provide us with the tools to build and strengthen our own resilience. And I shared this introduction before this Mizmor specifically, because I think that this is one of the most passionate of his songs, of his Mizmorim, and it leaves us with a clear directive and inspiration. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, let's begin. Lamenatzeach Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor, a song by David. Now we're going to see that this song begins with serious questioning of God. And one might think that that is something that you don't want to expose, that this is what's going on in your mind and your thoughts. David didn't write this and then hide his questions in a diary that was then found posthumously and turned into a song. Rather, he recognized that at times it's necessary to confront the questions that one has when faced with terrible adversity and pain, and therefore he wrote it for the conductor to sing with the nation for eternity. Get ready for this passionate song. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach. How long, Hashem, will you endlessly forget me? The Mitzvah David says, I'm wandering, trying to find a place of safety, a place that I can be who I need to be. How long will you forget me? Ad ona tastiras panecha mimeni. How long will you hide your face from me? Where are you, God? Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ad ona ashis etzos benafshi. How long do I have to figure out strategies to save my soul? Yagon bilvavi yomam. My heart is sad by day. Even during times of clarity when normally people aren't sad, I'm just so sad. Ad ona yarum oivi alai. How long will my enemies triumph over me? This song is very personal, and it was a personal song of David. says the Radak, but at the same time, the Radak says this is also a song that's for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, in their times of exile. And Rashi says there are four questions here, which correspond to the four different exiles that we experienced since the song was written: the Babylonian, the Persian, the Greek, and the Roman exiles. And although it's written about the Jewish people collectively in exile, it's written in the voice of an individual, because all of us may experience a collective pain. However, each of us is affected by the pain in a unique way. The desperation intensifies. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Habita aneni Hashem Elokai. Look, parentheses, at me, Hashem, my God. Ha'ira enai, enlighten my eyes. Pen ishan hamaves, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Either literally I die, or my hopes and dreams will die. I just won't be able to connect to you and to produce and move ahead. Hashem, look at me. Help me. Pasuk 5, Pasuk Hey. Pen yomar oivi yichaltiv. Tsaraya gilu ki emot. Lest my enemies boast that we have brought him down. My tormentors will rejoice when I have fallen. I think this is probably the most desperate feeling, and certainly with the current crisis that we're experiencing, this fear is so close to us. Lest our enemies express their victory. Where are you, God? And with this, we conclude the Mizmor. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Va'ani b'chastacha batachti yageli bi bishuasecha ashira la'shem ki gamal alai. And I will trust in your kindness. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Meaning, instead of the enemies rejoicing, I will be rejoicing. I will sing to Hashem, for he has rewarded me, or he has dealt kindly with me. Rabbi Hirsch explains, ki gamal alai, that he has dealt kindly with me, that God gives me the kindness that I need to be the best version of myself. And with this, we end this song with such resilience. Notice that clear resilience in the song. In the course of six psukim, six verses, we go from the most desperate questioning of God to singing of salvation. What happened between Pasuk 5 and Pasuk 6? Pasuk 5, we're at the depths of despair. They're winning. The enemy is winning and rejoicing. And then Pasuk 6, we are rejoicing. So I want to share with you a few thoughts, and I encourage you to think about this further, because it needs a lot more thought than what we're going to speak about right now. But how do you move on? How do you transform from a place of deep pain and questioning and doubt to a place of gratitude and hope? Number one, this Tehillim shows us, articulating your pain and confronting the adversity by recognizing it and challenging God can begin to provide comfort, because we know that God is there. Talking to God reminds us that God is here, and that begins our healing process. Now also, what this Tehillim shows us is that we can get caught up in our struggles and end up questioning God, and that happens, and it's okay. But if we stop there, we'll never move on. This song helps us acknowledge our doubts and pain, but also leads us forward, guiding us towards a place of gratitude and hope, so that we know when we're in this place of questioning and intense pain, we know the song isn't over yet. And then there's something else. We think that we need to wait for something to happen that's good, and then we'll be happy, and then we'll see goodness in our lives. However, that isn't what David did, or how he directs us to face our adversity. The singer, David, or any of us, makes a conscious decision before verse 6, that instead of seeing what God isn't doing for him, he's going to focus on what God is doing for him. Instead of seeing all the things that are going wrong and expecting them to worsen, he sees and prepares to sing about a better future. In other words, it's our choice to get up and move ahead, or to stay stuck in what seems to be well-deserved pity. And I want to share two anecdotes with you. 2 weeks ago, Agam Berger, who was in a captivity for close to 500 days, held up a sign as she was in the helicopter on her way back home, and the sign was extremely similar to a verse from Perek Kuf Yutes, from Perek 119, verse 30. And the sign said, "Bederech Emuna Bacharti." The actual pasuk, the actual verse is "Derech Emuna Bacharti," which means, "I chose the path of belief." And the truth is, from the stories we hear, the whole time that she was in Gaza, she was focused on growing spiritually, getting closer to God, thinking positive and thinking about her being released instead of feeling helpless. I chose the path of belief. And that is what we see the singer here doing as well. Going from a place of questioning to I am trusting in God's kindness. In addition, I've merited to meet many families of fallen soldiers, and when they speak about resilience and how they have the emotional ability to move on despite their tremendous loss, they all say something very similar. And it is as follows. It's, we as a family have chosen that we are going to move on. We as a family have chosen that we're going to move on. We are going to see the good in our lives, and we're going to share good and joy with others. They follow the example set by David HaMelech. Some mourn and question, though not all. They all mourn, but they don't all question. But then they resolve to move forward. And what's truly remarkable, and it's something I've witnessed firsthand, is how many inspiring stories of kindness they share. When I meet with them, and when they speak to groups, they talk about the kindness they experience, stories of compassion that they've experienced from Jewish people around the world, so that despite their pain, you can feel their deep connection to Klal Yisrael, their appreciation of Klal Yisrael, and their unwavering emunah. That is their song that they share with others. And that is the message of this Tehillim. Thank you for learning together Le'iloi Nishmot, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.